and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
So, you guys, we started as a life group. We start just 13 adults, 14 kids, and just started multiplying groups, house to house. That's the vision, just doing church like we read about here in the Bible, and that's what we still want to keep doing all these years later. And it's just, there's something powerful about relational connectivity in a life-giving way, and that's why there is life here on Sundays, is because we're actually in each other's lives and caring about each other and trying to walk this thing out. And today we're going to be talking about the generations from Psalm 145. So if you would, I'm going to read this one verse and we'll stand up in just a minute to read the whole psalm. But one generation, Psalm 145 verse 4, one generation commends your works to another and they tell of your mighty acts. And so what we're doing is we're finishing up a short three-week series that we've called Refresh. First week we looked at the unity of the Spirit. And I encourage you, if you haven't listened to that, not because it's me, but because it's such an important word for us in this moment in time. It is the word for the Lord, from the Lord for us. This unity of the Spirit word, it's so important. And I just can't say it enough, that we would be ready whenever the next thing comes down the road at us that would try to divide us, that we would have committed in our hearts that we're going to love each other, that we're going to be known by love first more than any other criteria as disciples, because that's what Jesus wants. That's what he's calling us to. Be known by your love for one another. Then last week, it was Psalm 45. We got these two words back in May from our board of advisors, and Psalm 45 and Psalm 145. And I had no idea how we've prayed these, we've read them, I don't know, 100 times since then, maybe more, but these psalms have become so important to me. Psalm 45, last week, is the king and his bride, Christ and the church, and it's just, that's who we are. That's how we got started. We wanted to see Christ, the church, and the glory of God lived out in this church life. And that's the track, that we're still on. And so Psalm 145 is also beautiful. I mean, it's like, wow, I didn't know. We were praying this in our life group the other night, and partly because somebody suggested, Jamie, we talk about the word in our life groups, but somebody said, your head is on the next week. So why don't we just let's do the next week? And so we did that. But Kristen is so awesome. And she goes, well, Jamie, she does Jewish studies and working on a PhD and a brilliant person. If you can get her to talk, she's got lots of good stuff to say. She said, well, Psalm 145, the Jewish people read this three times a day. And I was like, no. And she said, along with the Shema, this is the most read psalm in the Psalter. Three times a day since the Babylonian captivity. That's like some of the most spoken words in prayer ever. And it's just, it's loaded, man. It's awesome. So before I jump into that, I also want to welcome the TCU students. Go Frogs. And I'm so glad you're here. You're not here by accident. And it is important that you guys, there's so many people, we got our lives rocked in college. And that's what happened with me. I got my life rocked right at the tail end. I made a bunch of stupid mistakes and did a bunch of stupid stuff early on in college. And then I was at the end of my rope, and I met Jesus Christ in a powerful, life-changing, just wonderful way. And it's good. This is the time, and I'm just like, I don't know if that's where all the college students are, but this is the time where you just get, you're at a point in time where you can get your life rocked and set a course for the rest of life. And so I just want to encourage you about that. We are walking with friends 35 years later that we met right at the tail end of college, just at the end of our college experience, to meet people that we wanted to walk with Jesus with. And there's pockets of people all around this room. I know you guys that you went to college together and you're still walking out life together in the Lord. And so may the Lord bless you with life-giving friendships. And may he bless all the church with life-giving friendships to walk out discipleship to Jesus Christ with and in and by and for. You know, we planted this church nearly 31 years ago. And I know that sounds like a long time. And I'm not done. I am not done. I've been to the mountaintop. And there's so much more that the Lord has for us and for me and for you. But the verse that we planted with was, this was kind of our motto verse, was Acts 13:36. It said, David served God's purpose in his generation, and then he died. And that's what I want on my tombstone. He served God's, I know that sounds morbid, but it's like, I want to go for it, and then for all of my life. And I don't want to check out or quit or, you know, retire off to someplace and, you know, just I do like to play some golf when it's less unbelievably hot. You know, I heard 97's coming this week. We're messed up. 97's coming. This is great. Oh Lord, help us, help us, help us. And we need rain too. Lord, Father, we do. Just pray for rain. And just give us grace all to love each other well in the midst of a hot streak here. So even now, it's serve God's purpose in this generation. And that means that there's a great opportunity before us because we are standing in the midst of some just unprecedented walking away from the Lord. Just in ways that are unprecedented. So it's like, are we going to step up into this moment of opportunity that the Lord has for us? Because there is a great battle going on for the generations. I mean, there really is. And we're tempted in different ways. The different generations tempted in different ways. A lot of the same stuff, but it's tempted in different ways to get us to pull out, believe a lie, get robbed, stealed, killed, and destroyed in different ways. And the Lord has something for us. He doesn't want us to check out. He doesn't want us to back away from the eternal purpose of God that is Christ and his life lived out in the church that's on mission together. He doesn't want us to back out of that. He doesn't want us to be distracted to death and get attachments to other things that are killing us and robbing and stealing the life-giving life that he has for us. And there's a battle even going on to bring disunity to us. You know, and it's all different kinds of things where we feel that battle in ideology, in ways of thinking, in ethics, in politics, in ethnicities, and all these different things. But the Lord has a word for us to bring us together in his body that we would be one. And it's not just pie in the sky. It's the prayer of Jesus. Just in the same breath almost that Jesus prays, Father, I want them to have your love for me, that we would be passionate for Jesus. He's also praying that we would be one people together. Just as the Father is in Christ, Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father, in the Spirit, somehow in a mysterious, wonderful way, we're to be one like that. And let's do not let go of that vision. You know, we can't change everything in culture. Right, somebody say amen on that. But we can start here. We can start where we've got to say so, and we've got to say so here with each other and in our families. We can't change everything, but we can start with the older recognizing the younger, and the middle recognizing other middles and olders and youngers, and just work with me here. You know, I heard this, a few stories. I heard this past week about one of our oldest life groups, blessed, most mature, is the way I need to say that, is getting together with one of our young adult life groups and just hanging out. Isn't that good? I heard about a young adult couple this past week, just went over to an older couple's house to hang out for a Sunday afternoon. And, you know, part of this is just, if we're old, like, there's so many new people right now. Just meet older people, meet the younger people. Younger people, meet the older people. And let's just, part of just learning to be hospitable is going out of our way to say hi to somebody that we wouldn't normally say hi to. So let's do it. Let's go for it. I walked off the stage last week, and I preached that King and His Bride message, and I walked off, and I'm just standing right over here. Ministry time's happening, and one of our youth guys came up to me and said, "Jamie, can I pray for you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Like for what?" And I was like, "Oh, okay. You really?" And I said, "I feel insecure right now." Yancey Smith told me this years ago, the most vulnerable time for a speaker is when he first steps off the stage. So do the hard critiques later. I'll be fragile and probably start to cry or something. But he prayed for me for like 2 minutes, man, just fire and identity. And I was like, and I was ready to talk to you guys again. Yeah. I'm like, come on, the generations. You know, we sat down and just even at that life group, it was just beautiful what all the Lord was revealing as we, as elders, were just praying for you guys and for the church. It was wonderful. Here's the thing I'm about to say about this really important psalm. The main thing is that the Lord is calling us to life and joy. Life and joy as we declare His glory, love, kingdom, and care from one generation to another. We want to declare His glory and His love. Hey, everybody! His love is awesome. Hey, everybody, His glory is wonderful. Hey, everybody, His kingdom is here. Hey, everybody, He cares for us and He loves us from one generation to another and all around this room. Yes. Yes. Ooh, come on. So let's look at this psalm together, and I'm going to just do what I did last week. Just imagine you're walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. What would you want to hear from Jesus about this psalm? And just, Lord, speak to us as we read this word together, because He is the Lord. I mean, you're going to see Jesus in this psalm as you read it. He's declared with power through the resurrection from the dead to be the true King and Lord of the world. And so now the disciples are running to the Old Testament to understand the scriptures in the light of Jesus, and we want to do the same thing. So stand up, if you would, to honor the reading of the word of God. This is Psalm 145. Lord, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. The Psalm of David, of praise, one of the last Psalms people think that he wrote. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. Isn't that good? And extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. You're worthy. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you, and they tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises. Come on. And faithful in all that he does. The Lord upholds all who fall down and lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of the Lord look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He's faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Have a seat. Okay. Y'all ought to be able to preach after that, you know, like, come on. This Psalm 145, it's about God and it's about us. Straight up. It's about God and who he is and what he's done, doing, and will do. And it's about us as his people. So I'll just break it down real simple. First of all, it's about who God is. Who God is. That those first seven verses, they're just loaded just with who God is. And let me just break this down this way. First of all, the greatness of the Lord. The greatness of God. You know, I talked last week about Psalm 45, like Paul, not just did he have it open, he probably had it memorized. I'm sure he had this one memorized. This is a three-time-a-day psalm. You're eventually going to memorize this. But, you know, last week we talked about him having Psalm 45 about the king and his bride open as he wrote Ephesians about Christ and the church and the bride, all that stuff. It's just so rich. And I get the same kind of feeling here when I read your greatness, no one can fathom. The greatness of God, I think of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, it's been given to me to preach to the nations, to the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ, right? So his greatness, no one can fathom. It's unsearchable. It's mysterious, but it's not all mystery because God has revealed himself in the sending of his Son and the sending of his Spirit. So he has revealed himself, and he's revealed himself in the Word that points to the living Word that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King and the Lord of the world. So there's the greatness there. But there's also the love of God. Skip down to verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good to all. He has compassion on all that he's made. So, oh, Lord, help us. Look around, just look around. He has compassion on every other person in this, every person in this room, including yourself. He has compassion. He loves us. He has compassion on us. And it's just huge. That word there for rich in love is this really special Hebrew word called hesed. Hesed, and it means the covenant, faithful love of God. That he's not going to break that love. He's going to be faithful in that love. It's translated in the NIV, some unfailing love or loving kindness. That's the kind of phrase there. And so this incredible love that's flowing from God. And in Exodus 34 is where you first get that quote, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. And he says in NRSV, looking at Graydon, I don't know who all uses one of the, but I know he does. So it says that he's slow to anger, rich in love to 1,000 generations. That's like 40,000 years. So we're, no matter how you figure it, you got the chart for the end times, we're in the middle of his love. No matter how you break it down, we are in the middle of his love, right? So the love of God, the kingdom of God, those verses there in the middle, that your kingdom is an everlasting, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It endures through all generations. David had that promise from Nathan the prophet that he was going to have a king, a son who was going to be on the throne, his throne, his a descendant who would reign forever and ever, and his kingdom would never end. Isn't that powerful? So you read these kind of promises, but we read them through the lens of Jesus. And we know that he is the risen Lord. He is the King. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom where he reigns. He reigns. Yeah, I remember that. We need to sing it sometime soon. From the dawning of the He reigns, he reigns. I was just trying to get to the, he reigns. It's a Newsboy song, but we need to do it on a Sunday. I can see it. Blow the top off. Praise the Lord. His kingdom, he reigns, he does reign. Lord, you reign over all the earth. over every heart. Lord, reign. Come and reign in me. Come and reign in my brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus. And then the care of God. Look at this. This is just wonderful that he's trustworthy in all his promise, faithful in all he does. He upholds all who fall. I've just been having this picture as I'm reading that psalm over and over, chewing on it, and especially all who fall. Because you ever been holding a little kid's hand, maybe like a 2-3-year-old, and they stumble and they fall and but you still got their hand, you know, and they finally get their legs back under them, you know. Anybody feel like that? It's because that's what the Lord does with us. He's got us stronger than we can hold on to him. He's got my hand. And so when I stumble, it's still there. He's like, oh, you stumbled again. I'm letting go. He's faithful in his promises. He upholds all who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down, broken. If you're broken about something, need grace, hey, you're in the right place. A bunch of other people that are in process, broken, need grace. And then the final exhortation there is that every creature would praise his holy name. Isn't that awesome? And so that gets into the stuff about us that I want to talk about here for a second, and that's the second part, and that is it's about God, it's about who God is, but Psalm 145 is also about who we are. And we are called to be a praise people. All those first bunch of verses, praise. Exalt, praise, extol, greatness, commending his mighty acts, glorious splendor of his majesty, meditating on his works, telling of his awesome works, proclaiming his great deeds, celebrating his abundant goodness, and joyfully singing of his righteousness. That's a praise people. We are called, along with our brothers and sisters, to be one worldwide, multi-ethnic, and here we go, multi-generational church that gives praise to God. You know, not passively. Not just, I can take it or leave it. You know, God wants our hearts inside out, spirit and truth out into our bodies. I remember years ago, this centrality of worship thing is something that the Lord has always called us to be marked by. We want to be worshipers. I want to be a worshiper. And I treasure my heritage growing up in the Church of Christ, and it was a cappella. And so it's like the whole church is a choir. Everybody can sing. They wanted me in choir. You know, I got in. That's a long story. Wrong story. I joined the choir so that I could play guitar. Yeah, I had to. And he goes, you Church of Christ guys can all sing. I know you can sing. And he was a great choir leader, Dr. Barnes. But this centrality of worship thing is huge. When we first started, we would go over to. There's a Messianic Jewish congregation over in Dallas called Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. And, you know, so we're coming out of, you know, the worship, I hate to say worship wars, but there was, in the 90s, there was a lot, it wasn't, all the worship wasn't like it is now, and people demonstrative and stuff, and some people said hymn books only. You know, hymn books, or maybe you can use a transparency. Transparencies are these overhead light things that would shine, and you'd write the songs out on the thing, and then there'd be a person called a flipper who would flip the songs. Yeah, that was Emily, my daughter. But there was like tension about worship stuff, and could we do this dancing thing, and could we do some of these different things? And we go over to Baruch Hashem because people say, no, we need to keep the old ways. Well, Baruch Hashem, it's a bunch of Jewish people worshiping Jesus and dancing, and happy. They were happy, and they were praising God, and they were dancing and kneeling, and you talk about the old ways, and a lot older ways. You know, the Jewish people, you know, worshiping like this, just beautiful, 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 beautiful. So that word extol is exuberant praise. So. You don't have to do exuberant praise all the time, but let's do it some of the time. Just let's do it some of the time. We don't have to do all of that stuff all of the time, but let's do some of it some of the time. And just a big green light for worshiping with all you are. With all you are. Just a big green light here to worship. A lot of times I'll do what the song's saying. I bow before you, and I just bow down. Lord, I worship you here. You know, every now and then I get we don't sing prostrate, yeah. There's an old song, Angels Prostrate Fall, and I would always get confused which word. Yeah. But just like a green light to do some of this stuff, the kneeling, the dancing, just giving a shout, Lord, we love you. We give you praise. And to engage, like if I'm, just sometimes I'm not always feeling it, and I have to just still engage anyway. All right. Sometimes I get some encouragement from you guys. Just I'm kind of carried into the place of worship and prayer. We need each other. And so someday when you're not feeling it, somebody else is stepping up to encourage you and to sing with all their heart and all their might and all their... I remember one time, the first time I ever danced with all my might before the Lord. And that's a thing David did when they were bringing the ark back into Jerusalem. It's a thing. And before you die, you need to do this at some point where you dance with all your might before the Lord. And it was over at the Dallas Vineyard, the first time this had ever happened, and they had us move the chairs out. Can you imagine if it wasn't this many people? But just moving the chairs out so that we could have some space. And he was just coaching us in worship. Now lift your hands and just do a little thing with your feet, you know, and was coaching us on how to dance and worship. And he goes, and now freestyle. And I mean, I got sweaty and the whole bit, and I'm like, I was pooped at the end of the night, you know, and danced with all my might before the Lord. May the Lord give you those opportunities. Our worship nights are great, great times. I'm putting pressure on Aaron to get some danceable tunes. You know, I'm all over the place this morning, but... back in like about 2000, I was somewhere with Jimmy Seibert. We were traveling somewhere and we were at a university, and you could see like just scanning out across the lawn. Maybe it was at Baylor. And you could see scanning out across. He said, there was like 10 people that had djembes on their shoulder. And I remember him saying, look, the chosen instrument of a generation. You know, do y'all know what a djembe is? Doom, da, da, ga, doom. And just everybody's kind of groovy out playing those things. And for a season, it worked its way into the church, djembe kind of vibe. I remember our team going, oh man, we need to have some music that you can dance to. We're getting older by the day, and we're not, eventually one day we can't dance like we could. And so the Lord was gracious and compassionate to us so that we could do that. So, but why do we want to be a praise people? So that we can grow in our faithfulness with each other. The worship changes us. All right. We're changed as we worship, as we praise, as we pray and seek the Lord. We're changed and more conformed to his image, and we need each other for that. We need to be a faithful people. That's what David is saying there in your faithful people. I lost it. Verse 10. Sorry. All your works praise you. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. And here's the thing. We want to be a faithful people that are walking out life in worship, in humility, and love, so that, verse 12, so that all people may know of your mighty acts. That's where this is going. It's going to the nations that are here in this city, the nations that are here in the room, the nations that are in our region, the nations that are in the nations, literally, of the earth, so that all people may know. So here's what I want to do. How does this happen? You got who God is and who we are. How does it happen? And I just want to focus in the last few minutes here on the generational piece, this generation word that is so important. Because how does it happen? It's the story of redemption. It's the story of reconciliation. It's the story of salvation. It's the story of God coming in the flesh and making a way for us to all be redeemed and made right and forgiven and made whole. How does that happen? But it also happens one generation to another. One generation commends your works to another. One generation to another. And what I want to do, I want to take some time here this morning to ordain. I'm not doing it, but I'm proclaiming your ordination. You know, because everybody that's in Christ is ordained. We're all ministers. We believe in the priesthood of the believers. That's the way Peter talks about that. And so it's not people on the stage or ministers and pastors and regular people. We're actually all the body of Christ together. We have different functions, we do different things, but we're all in this together. And one generation will commend your works to another. Every generation matters, you guys. Every generation matters. Every generation, and I want to just be so clear about this, is needed. We need every generation. We need all of our ethnic diversity, and we need all of our age diversity as well. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? So, Lord, open our eyes to this. What I'm going to do right now is I just want us to see each other in the room and take a few minutes to do that. And so I'm gonna have five groups stand up. I'm not singling anybody out, and hopefully everybody fits into one of these groups. I guess if you're living, you would. But I'm gonna start in the middle and go older, and then I'm gonna go back to just under that middle and go younger. Five groups. And so the first group I just wanna call up, and really all of this is a calling up. Like, the Lord's got something for us, and we're in the game. Everybody matters. So 36 to 50, if you would stand up. 36 to 50-year-olds, look all around the room at these 36 to 50-year-olds, all right? Now, keep standing for just a second. You know, the Lord, there's temptations that come at us in different ways, but just, I want to speak this over you guys. Many of you are parents right now. You're dads and moms, but it's time right now, 36 to 50-year-olds, to be spiritual parents, to be dads and moms. I'm calling you up to more. There's more. There's God has a destiny over you guys in this generation, and the call is to step into it, okay? So, Father, do that in this group in the name of Jesus. Can we honor this group, everybody else? Y'all have a seat. Amen. Now, if I could get this incredible group of 51-year-old to 64, 51 to 64, all you guys, come on. And I'm standing with you guys. Keep standing. You know, there's, for whatever way you've been tempted to pull back or something, or just go, hey, it's time for somebody else to take over. Look, we're not done. The Lord is not done. He's not done with us. Different things happen, but he's not done with this generation. And I think it's a time of convergence, actually, where our greatest fruitfulness is just waiting to happen in these years, right here, right now. Y'all give it up and honor this group. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now this next one is important. I want to get all the 65 and older crowd to stand up. Come on. Amen. Okay, keep standing a second. I want to encourage you guys, this is more than we've ever had. It's always been a young church, and we need you. We need this generation, not just staying engaged. The temptation would be to, I'll let the younger guys do it, but we need you. We, the church needs the matriarch, Donna Miller. Yeah. Just, yeah. just being alive. She's been a mom in this church for so many years and has moved up north. And I'm just so good, glad to see you. I'm a recipient and a beneficiary of the love of our older brothers and sisters. We need you, and y'all give up some great honor for them. Amen. Amen. Okay, so now I want to get the 23 to 35 crowd. 23 to 30. Look at that. Amen. Okay, so thanks for standing, you guys. Again, there's so I want to encourage you to dream. Don't quit dreaming. Don't quit dreaming about the way things could be, can be, will be, as we are life-giving expressions of the reign of God in this place. You guys you're a powerful generation, and the Lord wants to do so much through you, and I bless you to do that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Y'all have a seat. Let's honor him. And then finally, I want to get college seniors, college and under. So all college, if you're still in college, stand up. If you're youth, stand up. Okay. This is so big. This is so big because there's battles. Y'all keep standing. There's a battle going on for your hearts, for attachment to other things, for technology being the answer. I can just Google it. It's not the same as actually being life on life with somebody who's older and who can help you navigate the days ahead. And we need our youth rocking and rolling and going for Jesus. And we need our college, all you guys, going for Jesus and being on fire, just disciples that love the Lord, resilient disciples that keep turning to the Lord. And so may the Lord bless you. May he bless you. May he bless you. Y'all honor the younger generation. Amen. Lord bless you. So good. Now can you see each other a little better here? Lord, bring unity. Help us to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace that you've given. There is grace and there is power in our unity together across the generations. They commend your works to another. They tell of your splendor and your majesty. And I, see what happens is when another generation, it's not just older to younger only, it's younger back to the older. Because the older guys, they may have some wisdom and life experience, but they need your fire. You know, it's my dad in the Lord, Don Fento, saying, Jamie, I don't want you to out-radical me for Jesus. All those years, he would say that to me. You know, he's 93 now. You know, and he's on fire. He looks glamour-shotted because it's the glow and the glory of Jesus in his life. Like, for real. He looks glamour-shotted because he walks in the glory of God. That's why all those old paintings have like a glow circle around them, a halo kind of thing. It's the glory, you know? And so, oh, Lord, help us. They will tell, and I will meditate. I will be sharpened by you, and you will be sharpened by me, and we will be sharpened together to give the praise that God is so worthy of. This is crazy, what I'm about to share. I found this card. It's a prophetic word from Janine Parrish, and it was June 27th, 2010, from Isaiah 54. And I just found it in a bunch, big stack of some papers and things where I would do my quiet time in the morning in my study at home. And I started reading this, and I was like, whoa. I'm just going to read it. I almost put it up. Kim said they won't be able to read it on the screen. But Isaiah 54, he's removing barrenness. He says, stretch out your tent pegs. Stretch your curtains wide. And she was literally talking in our old auditorium. We had these curtains that Micah just loved. And he said, man, that's a word of the Lord. Get those things out of here. Stretch your curtains wide. She said, I'm talking about more than those curtains, but it's an affirmation of where you're headed. And as you go wide, even to the nations, this will be a place of healing. Healing of shame, healing of wrong views of God. Come on. Restoration of broken lives. O city lashed by storms, not comforted, I will rebuild you. There will be many trophies of grace. And finally, this is involving not just breadth, but internal restoration. Also intergenerationally, your children will be taught of the Lord. There is a reason why God is bringing you so many young families. You will spread out your tent and you will extend power fully to multi-generations. This is 13 years ago. You won't see it all. God is doing in the next few years, but in 10, 20, 30 years, there will be mighty ones produced by this ministry. And this means that your children's ministry is not secondary, but primary. All right. So, dot, 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 she says, awakening of wombs, spreading to the city, spreading to the nations, depth and power for healing, younger generations coming to be mighty, protection. This is your inheritance. Come on. You know, I shared that in our staff prayer a couple weeks ago, and Lindy said, when did you get that? And I said, this morning, about 7:15. She said, oh, at 7, women's prayer, we were praying that specifically old prophetic words would be found and they would be lived out in our time. And Lily Guild was helping to lead that prayer meeting. So Lily would have been 6 years old when that prophetic word was given, you know, and she's actually leading the prayer meeting and is mighty. She's mighty in the spirit, leads worship when she's in town, now she's at school, but just powerful. One generation commends your works to another. Just we're greeting one another. We're believing for one another, the older for the younger for the older, and not giving up on each other. We were working on this sermon, sermon planning. Our little group of sermon planning has like 26 years old to 81 years old are on the team. And just that kind of diversity. And we're talking about this word, Psalm 45. And I had to just stop at one point. I said, this is holy ground. The presence of the Lord was so on this word about the generations. And I just, you know, Lord, help me get it out. It's just powerful. I believe it is holy ground. And he's wanting to shape us in a new way through this word. We think it's the word. We've heard that it's the word for a world mandate, 2024 here in this room, all generations. So we're on a trajectory here where this word is becoming very important. And what's going to happen is as you grow up and you're investing in people and you're pouring your life out for them, then they're going to be rallying around you. Life group leaders, disciplers, all these different kind of things. Lindy was telling me a couple weeks ago, her dad had a 80th birthday or something. And so they got everybody to write blessings for him. Rather than saving it for his funeral to say all the nice things, they wrote out blessings for Lynn. And 100 people came from miles and hours around coming to honor her dad. Lynn Lovell was an elder for many, many years at the Hills on the north side of town. And so Lindy grew up in that environment. That's partly why Lindy is, she's just a powerhouse. Yep. Right. It's because she grew up understanding pastoring and people and loving people and how to help people, how to encourage people, and just people on it. And it's right that Lynn Lovell, man of God, would be honored like that. Or guys like Don Fento, you know, not slowing down, you know. And may we all have grace to say, I don't want you to out-radical me for Jesus. Let's go. Let's go. Let's turn from the stuff that's breaking us and hurting us. Let's grow up. And I know some of this is hard because we're all bringing brokenness. Yep. Just in our parents, nobody had perfect parents. Everybody had broken parents that were on a journey. Yeah. You know, my dad, I love you, Dad, if you're watching. You know, my dad, it was hard. Like he had a difficult situation. Parents split up and a stepdad that was abusive, physically abusive. And when he got to 10th grade, he finally fought back and he could fight back. And then, but he left he was done with the house there. And somehow he is a victorious overcomer. I'll just speak that to you. He's a victorious overcomer who made it through all of that stuff without a high school education and brought up some kids that, you know, just some great, you know, talking about my brother and my sister, you know, I can't even say what my sister does. So it's top secret. But she's a great leader. And when we're the three of us are all together, she's in charge. Jared, just he's in a transition of jobs, but he oversees 2,600 employees. So he's got a few things going on too. But Dad did that. Mom did that. And all of our so even as I'm saying this, like Lord, help us, have mercy. And you don't have to get it figured out and get it just right to be able to contribute and bless the next generation and commend the works of God to the college or to the high school or to the young adults. Like, we all get to be in on this thing, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I want to just say this. It's subversive to culture to talk like this. Yep. It's subversive that we're going to work together and to lock arms and move forward and not just be looking over our shoulder each time. Or you're not about to shoot me, are you? You know, but we're locked arms and we're walking together in the purpose of God together. And that's a beautiful thing. This psalm, I didn't say this yet, but this psalm was written by David as an acrostic using the Hebrew letters of the alphabet, all of them, except for one letter, Nun. Is the Hebrew letter, and it's left out because it's normally associated with defeat. I mean, isn't that, that's like anointed of God because he's victorious. He's a victorious God. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and that is what we've been invited into. So let's be that kind of family who is declaring the glory and the love and the kingdom and the care of our great God from one generation to another. Amen. You guys stand up. Praise the Lord. Team's coming up. And ministry team, come on up. We do this each week. And this is one of those, man, Lord, let it just, let's take some time and just pray for each other. If you're not a disciple of Jesus and you want to be clear about being a disciple, let's do that today. Like, let's be disciples of Jesus Christ, not just giving a mental assent to Jesus, but actually following him as our Lord, okay? So we want to do that, and come and get prayer if that's for you. Also, if something's just resonating in your heart, if something's just resonating, then let's pray it in. And if something is challenging, man, let's pray about that as well. But we need this word in our hearts. Lord, help us. Lord, he puts the lonely in families. That's what he does. Maybe that word is for you, and that we would be this family together. But again, guys, whatever your need is, don't leave without getting prayer. You can pray with people that you came with, but let's just pray. God answers prayer. And he moves in times like this to change lives and hearts forever. So come, let's pray. We love you, Lord. We need you. One generation to another. Thank you, Lord.